program, you're about to hear Bob's Slap Time Fun Hours with Parody, Satire, and Comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor, and to cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
This is an official announcement to our comrades of the Socialist American Autonomous Republic. The following is a production of the People's Radio Works and is authorized for the listening to by all upper party members. The unapproved listening to by the proletariat or members of the suppressed subgenius church is forbidden, and those tuning in will be dressed and shot. Now you will watch the CCP TV Evening News and believe everything. That is all.
Seekers, welcome to WREK Atlanta, beaming to you from the beautiful Soviet Georgia Tech campus. And welcome to the People's Slackless House of Politburo Approved Fun. Your regular host, the Reverend Susie the Floozy, has unfortunately been purged. She wanted you to know she's taking a few years off to have a much-needed vacation at beautiful Club Red's deprogramming gulag and spa, located in the beautiful Tunguska crater in Siberia. I am your new host, Comrade Ivana Kachislakov, and I have been appointed to dictate policy for the new regime of the People's Slackless House of Politburo Approved Fun. Oh, we have a great show for you tonight, Comrade Seekers. From Kazakhstan, we have a fascinating 3-hour film of the glorious production of the 1000th Tractor. We'll be looking in on Lenin's tomb to see if he's moved again. And later, Comrade Ivo Kanivelsky will be jumping the entire Red Army in a souped-up 4-door Volga sedan. So stay tuned! Yes, it's an escalating Soviet incursion of politically approved good times! We will bury you in laughs!
Hello. Testing. Testing. Yeah, like I can cut into the Supreme Soviet signal. Hey, I think it's working. Seekers, can you hear me? Listen, pay no attention to the man behind the Iron Curtain. That's not me, that's some Soviet clone speaking moose and squirrel. Oh, we're talking red channels here tonight, and I'm not talking about my hair color. Oh, let's see. Oh, can I find any ambiance around this? Boy, it sure is dark in this bunker. Ah, this feels like a record. I don't know what it is, but let's put it on. Ah, red sails in the sunset. That figures. Oh, at least this transmitter I've bimbo rigged seems to be working out. I put it together out of old bed frames and old crashed U-2 spy plane parts. Oh, and as long as I'm powering the hula hoop drive, I think I can keep a signal going. Oh boy, I hope my hips hold out tonight, Seekers, because I know I'm in for a hard drive and longer than usual show tonight. Because I realize that if the KGB sniffs me out, this could be my last show. So I'm throwing all my communist-related stock overboard. I can't throw no more, so let them choke on it. Oh, Seekers, what's the free world coming to? Oh, I can't help feeling that this is somehow all my fault, though. Oh, I was bitterly disappointed with the lackluster May Day showing this year. I mean, it used to be better than the Rockettes and Cecil B. DeMille all rolled up together. And now it's just Fidel Castro chain-smoking cigars and throwing out baseballs. Oh, I mean, not that long ago it was, the Russians are coming, the Russians are coming. Oh, now they're not even breathing hard. All except for doddering old Fidel. Oh, commies used to be our best entertainment value. What happened to the red menace that we once knew and feared? Oh, yes. We used to have an enemy on the order of Galactus with an arsenal of nuclear warheads and an itchy trigger finger. Not to mention that drop-dead monolithic neo-industrio-deco architectural style of theirs. Oh, so what if they were big, ugly, gray guys in big, ugly, gray suits and big, ugly, gray wives and big, ugly, gray ideas? Oh, we had the best of both worlds in our commies because we could feel superior to them even as we shook in our boots from the dread of nuclear apocalypse raining from the skies. Oh, yeah. No one could hold a candle to the Reds. And if they did, they'd be shipped off to some hell-bent, festering Siberian gulag in a Moscow minute. And Soviet life was good. Oh, and I wasn't the only one to appreciate their style of sensibilities and control. Why, Senator Joe McCarthy and Richard Nixon both obviously based their fascist red-baiting investigation style on the classical, ruthless Soviet template. Or I'll eat the tassels off my bustier. Oh, yeah, those scary Reds cut a mighty fine figure of an enemy. An enemy worth hating! Oh, but they're gone. The Union of Soviet Socialist Republics split up like a jaded, burnout rock band. And we've got to face it. There's not going to be a reunion concert. Oh, so what are we left with today? Garden variety, no class, freelance, hair trigger, gobbledygook, spouting extremists with fertilizer bombs. Yeah, no missiles. These idiots are making bombs out of poop! Oh, these throwbacks would have trouble breaking wind, let alone splitting an atom. Oh, and I was raised to appreciate the common civilities of the Cold War, when the possibility of global annihilation could be forestalled simply by whose shoulder pads were bigger. Oh. So last night I went to bed missing the communists, and I awoke to this red nightmare. Oh, I never dreamt it would be like this. Oh, I buttered my buns, but good this time, Seekers, and oh, I'm afraid your buns, too. I guess it was true what the John Birch Society has been raving about. Those communists were out for our slack. But I'm firming my resolve and going underground. Yes, I'll be a three-fisted resistance fighter for Bob. But fair warning to you lily-livered Seekers out there. We're going to wade through the Bolshoi tonight, and I warn you, some of my guests will be getting a little vulgar. Hey, I feel like a war. Would you like a cold one?
I don't know. This is a nightmare.
A real red nightmare.
It's американский папиросы, они очень хорошие.
Speak English, comrade. Remember, that is about the only freedom you do not have in this town. It's American town.
Americans, they have too many freedoms.
That is another thing you must remember, comrade. For one day it will be your mission to destroy those bourgeois capitalist freedoms.
Frightening, isn't it? From all appearances, this community could be in Iowa, California, or Tennessee. It looks like an American town. As American as apple pie and ice cream. As a matter of fact, you can find apple pie here and ice cream too. But appearances are deceptive. This is not an American town. However, it may be assumed that such a town does exist, shrouded in secrecy and protected by utmost security, deep behind the Iron Curtain. You might call this a college town, communist style. As part of a long-range plan to destroy our free way of life, these young communists are studying the economic, political, and religious institutions that are the very heartbeat of America. The courses here in this strangest of all schools, espionage as a science, propaganda as an art, sabotage as a business. This nameless American city, deep in the vastness of the Soviet Union, it stands as a symbol of Russian treachery, of long-range communist conspiracy. This town may appear to be an accurate likeness of a typical American community, but it's a fraud. It isn't free. Now, let's take a look at a genuine American town and a genuine American. Now, in a few minutes, Jerry Donovan will be asleep. But tonight, instead of the sweet dreams his wife wished him, let's give Jerry a nightmare, a real red nightmare.
That can be arranged.
Such a beautiful day. If they get back from Sunday school, why don't we all pile into the car and go over to... Hey, what is this? Someone going on a trip?
You could call it a trip. Actually, the children are going away to a state school.
Now, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. I don't know what's happened to you or what they've done to change you, but you're not going to send these kids away.
Oh, she's not sending us away. It was our idea. We learned in school that home life does not encourage the growth of the collective character which the party wishes to develop in its young people. It's your fault. You should have spent more time training us to think along party lines. As a member of the Young Pioneers, it will be my duty to report you.
Now you better listen to me. All of you. I don't want to hear any more talk about state schools and party lines and collective character and deviationism. This is going to be a family again, and I know just where to start. You're going to Sunday school, and you're going right now.
Mommy, tell her!
No use to argue.
Mom!
This time, I'm going to overrule the party. Come on.
Soggy cereal. Soggy cereal. Soggy cereal. You drop it in the bowl, the milk goes on. The telephone rings and for a moment you're gone. When you get back, your temper grows hot, 'cause you've just discovered a communist plot. Commie cereal, soggy cereal, they're one and the same. Oh, who is to blame? It seems such a shame. It's un-American. What will you do about all that new? Probably Fu Manchu is behind this too. Uncle Sam wants you. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo. Tip a canoe and tie the Jew. It's an American dream, includes Indians too. I can't go on.
Came along, he was an avowed atheist. He lapped up the theory of evolution, and he applied it socially and philosophically. The result, Russian communism was born.
I don't care!
The introduction of Bill Jones to communist strategy. A misguided young man, fallen under the spell of Marxian hatred and revenge, unaware that he is only the tool of men who would destroy his country. Signs didn't tell of the worldwide Marxist racket, intent on spreading dissension and treason.
There he is! That's the guy that got our money!
Get him, boys! Let's keep in action! Show him where you're going!
We don't arrest the boys! Let's break up the joint!
Let's pull out him signs!
Get on the face! Break it down! Break their boys and show him!
Country.
It wouldn't be if you kind had their way. Come on, let's go.
I'm a communist sympathizer.
You always were.
Well, it's not so popular anymore.
Look out next Saturday night.
What's the matter? I'm head to the Central Committee over there. I gotta know.
Well, don't tell I told you. Listen. Citizens angered at Red agitators burn another squatter's camp and order agitators to leave the county.
Listen, what is these Reds anyway?
Behind the scenes of the next world war. London. The big three are again in diplomatic convulsions.
Russia is insistent upon becoming an African power, which Great Britain will resist to the last ounce of strength. When one lifeline crosses another lifeline, the result is a noose for world peace. Paris. Diplomatic relations between the Vatican and the Kremlin are very, very bad. They will get very, very much worse.
An iron curtain has descended across the continent. Behind that line lie all the capitals of the ancient states of Central and Eastern Europe. Warsaw, Berlin, Prague, Vienna, Budapest, Belgrade, Bucharest, and Sofia. All these famous cities lie in what I must call the Soviet sphere. And all are subject, not only to Soviet influence, but to a very high and in some cases increasing measure of control from Moscow.
I love my country, and I think my country is in danger. And I think the only man that can save America at this time is the man that's running for president on my ticket.
Communist?
He's not a communist, Mother. As a matter of fact, he's a Republican.
We have done a pretty good job in our business of keeping those people's activities curtailed. After all, we must legally recognize them at the present as a political party. On that basis, we have exposed their lies when we came across them. We have been eminently successful in preventing them from their usual tactic of trying to run a majority of an organization with a well-organized minority.
I don't believe it's a political party. I believe it's an un-American thing. And the thing that I resent the most is that they are able to get into these unions and take them over, and I feel that they really ought to be smoked out and shown up for what they are, so that all the good free causes in this country, all the liberalisms that really are American, can go out without this taint of communism.
What do you think will happen in a period of 5 or 10 or 15 years if these individuals keep on infiltrating the pictures?
I'm just hopeful that perhaps out of this hearing, our Congress will have legislation that can be no question how to handle American citizens who don't deserve to be, if they are communists, to get them out of our place.
You who seem to sort of disrupt things once in a while, whether or not they're communists, I don't know.
Would you name those for the committee, please?
Well, the one chap I'm thinking of currently is Mr. Howard Da Silva. Always seems to have something to say at the wrong time.
Others are Albert Malls, another Hollywood writer, Howard De Silva, the actor, Herbert K. Sorrell, the union leader, so-called, in Hollywood, Robert W. Kenney, the attorney in California, and a number of other Hollywood people.
Are you a member of the Communist Party, or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party?
The question of communism is in no way related to this inquiry, which is an attempt to get control of the screen and to invade the basic rights of American citizens in all fields. The question here relates not only to the question of my membership in any political organization, but this committee is attempting to establish the right, which is historically denied to any committee of this sort.
We're going to get the answer to that question if we have to stay here for a week. Are you a member of the Communist Party? Or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party?
It's unfortunate and tragic that I have to teach this committee the basic principles of Americanism.
That's not the question. The question is, have you ever been a member of the Communist Party?
I'm framing my answer in the only way in which any American citizen can frame his
then
answer
you
to
denied,
a question
then you,
invades his, absolutely invades
then
his
you
life.
Denied to... You refuse to answer that question. Is that correct?
I have told you that I will offer my beliefs, my affiliations, and everything else to the American public, and they will know where I stand, as they do from what I have written.
Stand away from the stand.
I have written for Americanism for many years, and I shall
stand away from the stand.
Fight for the Bill of Rights, which you are trying to destroy.
This man away from the
This involves a serious question of conscience.
Conscience?
Conscience, sir. Conscience. I say you do raise a serious question of conscience for me when you ask me to act in concert with you to override the Constitution.
Mr. Chairman,
go ahead. Wait a minute, let me ask you the question.
Just a minute.
You're asking me to violate the Constitutional Guarantee.
Just a minute.
It's
not allowed to constitute.
It does.
The witness is through. Stand away.
I wish to repeat.
Stand away.
Mr. Bieberman, are you a member of the Screenwriters Guild, or have you ever been a member of the Screenwriters Guild?
Mr. Stripling, I would like to reply to this very quietly, Mr. Chairman Orford. If I will not be interrupted, I will attempt to give you a full answer to this question.
It has become very clear to me that the real purpose of this investigation...
That is not...
Mr. Bieberman.
Are you a member of the Communist Party, or have you ever been a member?
Are you a member of the Communist Party?
Are you now, or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party?
It is perfectly clear to me, gentlemen, that if you continue in this particular
Mr. Chairman, will you direct the witness to answer
only
that question?
You have
the question.
And that
you
is the cause of strife in the industry?
You're excused.
Chaos in the industry?
Will you direct the witness to answer that question, Mr. Chairman, before he leaves the stand?
I have not refused to answer the question. I told you before I will answer this question
fully. Now, Mr. Bieberman,
your purpose is to use this to disrupt the motion picture industry, to invade
Bieberman.
The right not only of me, but of the producers, to their thoughts, to their opinions, and this I will not permit.
We must have order in these chambers.
We sat in the committee room and heard it happen. We saw it. We said to ourselves, it can happen here. We saw American citizens denied the right to speak by elected representatives of the people. We saw police take citizens from the stand like criminals after they'd been refused the right to defend themselves. We saw the gavel of a committee chairman cutting off the words of free Americans. The sound of that gavel, Mr. Thomas, rings across America. Because every time your gavel struck, it hit the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States.
Exciting. The Overlord said it was a war film.
Actually, I think it's a Cold War film.
Cold War. Now, what the heck was the Cold War anyway?
Well, the Cold War was a rich, fertile time of paranoia, virulent conservatism, rampant jingoism.
Ah, the Reagan era.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think it was the McCarthy era.
The Charlie McCarthy era. Yeah.
Well, you're right, exactly. It was the McCarthy era. Yeah, these are some artist renderings. You want to bring it in, Cambot, just a little bit? You see, I have here these artist renderings. You see, one day Charlie McCarthy looked at Howdy Doody's hair and saw red. After that, Charlie formed the McCarthy Hearings on Un-American Activities. Howdy turned informant and named names. Gumby, Pokey, Kukla, and Ollie were all implicated on Howdy's damning testimony. Turns out Gumby and Pokey were in bed with the Chinese. Their arrest started out the whole Free Art Clokey movement. Kukla, Ollie had worked on a left-leaning Clifford Odets Playhouse 90 script, but they were cleared of all charges. One of the era's biggest informants...
Oh, no, not the duck from You Bet Your Life!
He was a good friend of arch-conservative Marx brother writer Maury Riskin, and as far as he was concerned, the secret word was subversive. After that duck's devastating testimony, neither Jerry Mahoney, Knucklehead Smith, or Farfel worked for years. Arthur Miller took it upon himself to write an emotionally gut-wrenching commentary on the Cold War era called Topo Gigio Goes to the Circus. Topo, by the way, used his earnings from the Ed Sullivan Show to fund the attempted assassination of Fidel Castro.
No, Joel, after this, nothing will ever shock me again.
Oh yeah, brace yourself, because the most sinister friendly witness brought up in front of the committee was none other than... Lamb Chop.
Oh, wow, big surprise.
Yeah, I always hated her anyway.
Yeah.
She was the one who put the finger on... Davy and Goliath.
Oh, no!
Not Davy and Goliath!
Say it ain't so, Joel, say it ain't so!
Davy, being a God-fearing American, was more than happy to cooperate. Goliath named names, too. There was Dalton Trumbull, Ring Lardner Jr., Albert Maltz, and Bertolt Brecht. Unfortunately, all the committee heard was arf, 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 arf. Goliath was convicted of contempt of Congress and sent to the pound.
Boy, at least we know an era like that will never happen again.
That's right, my little friends.
Yeah, I'm sure glad I'm not a puppet.
Yeah, me too.
No, me neither. Who pulls your strings?
And I have here a list of the names of 207 persons who are known by the Secretary of Defense as being members of the Communist Party.
Very, very good at a great many things, but thinking, hon, just simply isn't one of them. You just keep shouting, point of order, into the television cameras, and I will handle the rest.
Some guy with a bushy beard handed out a socialist newsletter.
Was it poorly Xeroxed?
You better believe it.
Hungaria.
Yeah, whatever.
I can't think of anyone who's benefited more from the death of communism
than us.
Well, maybe the people who actually live in the communist countries. Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought of that. I bet you're right.
I agree with you in theory. In theory, communism works. In theory.
In danger, and I say, look at the record. 7 years of the Truman Acheson administration, and what's happened? 600 million people lost to the communists, and a war in Korea in which we have lost 117,000 American casualties. And I say to all of you that a policy that results in the loss of 600 million people to the communists and a war which costs us 117,000 American casualties isn't good enough for America. Take communism. I say that as far as that subject is concerned, the danger is great to America. In the Hiss case, they got the secrets which enabled them to break the American secret State Department code. They got secrets in the atomic bomb case which enabled them to get the secret of the atomic bomb 5 years before they would have gotten it by their own devices. And I say that any man who called the Alger Hiss case a red herring isn't fit to be president of the United States.
You awful man.
He's a republic communist, mother.
She died a lot harder. When it appeared that she had received enough electricity to kill an ordinary person and had received the exact amount that had killed her husband, the doctors went over and pulled down the cheap prison dress, a little dark green printed job, and placed the stethoscopes to her, and then looked around and looked at each other rather dumbfounded and seemed surprised that she was not dead. Believing she was dead, the attendants had taken off the ghastly strappings, electrodes, and black belts, and so forth. And these had to be readjusted again, and she was given more electricity, which started again the kind of a ghastly plume of smoke that rose from her head and went up against the skylight overhead. After two more of those jolts, Ethel Rosenberg had met a maker. She'll have a lot of explaining to do to.
Your permit number, please.
Permit number? Operator, I don't have a permit. I just want to call my house. I want to talk to my wife.
No personal calls are allowed without a permit from the commissar. You will get off the line, please.
You are about to defect to Mother Russia.
I am?
Of course.
Fate.
Logic is on our side. This isn't the case of a world struggle between two divergent ideologies or different economic systems. Every day, your country becomes more socialistic, my country becomes more capitalistic. Pretty soon we'll meet in the middle and join hands. No, my dear doctor, you're going to defect because you want to live.
Defect.
Rallying a nation of television viewers into hysteria to sweep us up into the White House with powers that will make martial law seem like anarchy.
Gee, I sure hope there's a happy ending. I love a happy ending.
As far as I can see, Betsy, you, I, and your little brother Roddy are the only ones left here in Mayfield who haven't been brainwashed by these communists from Saturn.
Oh, Steve. It's not my Mayfield anymore. Let's leave. Right after our hamburgers. Roddy! Roddy! Where the dickens is that boy?
Yes, sis.
Roddy, I have a big surprise for you. Uncle Steve is taking us on a trip.
Yes, Roddy. We're going to fly to our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., on a big army plane. Won't that be fun?
There will be no fun until the workers unite and destroy all American imperialism.
Roddy, that doesn't sound like you.
I fear the worst, Betsy. Roddy, you're a red-blooded all-American boy. Tell me, what's Mickey Mantle's career batting average?
Baseball is a capitalistic smokescreen to distract the masses from a corrupt society. Join the revolution now, or we will bury you.
Roddy, don't talk like that. Quick, Steve, do something.
It's too late, Betsy. He's not your brother anymore. Oh, sure, his body's here in Mayfield, all right.
But his soul is in Moscow.
Oh, no!
You little...
Dad? They've been poisoning you kids with those lies long enough. Now you're really going to find out what the truth is all about.
We tried to tell you, Dad, but you wouldn't listen. There is no more Sunday school. Please take us home now, Daddy. Everybody's looking at us.
Mistake. Somebody made a big mistake. Come on, we're going to get this straight now, right now. Come on.
Only way to settle this argument is to play Russian roulette. Do you know how to play Russian roulette?
No, I don't.
You play Russian roulette this way. I have this pistol. One bullet in chamber. Spin cylinder. Cock the gun. Hold the gun to your head and pull the trigger. I go first. Good luck.
What do you say we make it 2 out of 3?
This is again Radio Yerevan with our new...
Oh, I'm sorry. If you turn on the machine, this is Radio Yerevan. My name is Hans Ivanovich Hagen, and this is the news.
What the Sputnik signal means, we still don't know. The Russians haven't said anything about that. Our own experts haven't found any coded information in it. The sound may be no more than a means of identification, a way to keep track of the beach ball-sized metal sphere as it hurtles around the world 16 times every day, a dozen times faster than any man has ever flown. The event itself, the sudden Russian advance to the far frontier ahead of every other country, that event is full of meanings, clearest of all the scientists whose work is the exploration of space.
Dr. Ericki, based on our knowledge of the Sputnik, would you say that the Russians now have an ICBM?
I'm firmly convinced they do have an ICBM, yes.
The more logical sequence of events is simply this, as I see. It took the Soviets 4 years to catch up with the atomic bomb. took the Soviets 9 months to catch up with a hydrogen bomb. And now, tonight, the communists have established a foothold in outer space.
You know, we'd better train some more scientists and engineers real soon, or we'll be in trouble.
According to my information, Alan, the Russians at the present time are working on Sputnik number 5. And furthermore, this Sputnik will have equipment that will jam our local television stations, radio stations, our early warning radar systems, and then be in a position where Russians can rebroadcast some of their propaganda. It'll come right into your home on your television set or your...
Change to Leica. Smoke Leica cigarettes, made of the best eastern tobaccos, known far and wide for their fine flavor.
This is Radio Moscow. This is Radio Moscow. The Soviet Union has successfully launched a second space satellite into Earth orbit. The Sputnik weighs 1,100 pounds and is carrying a dog named Leica. Radio signals from the Sputnik indicate that Leica is alive and well.
Do you admire the Russians for doing it or not?
No, definitely not. I said we should have been the first ones to have it, if there's such thing. It's my opinion.
Because the American people alarmed that a foreign country, especially an enemy country, can do this. And we fear this. We fear that they have something out that majority of the people don't know about.
Voiceless cry of mercy as this satellite spans the earth should be long remembered as a symbol of the torture the animal world must go through. And I don't mean to be facetious at all, but something to be remembered is that there's a female up there circling Mother Earth.
Well, I think the Russians are ahead of us in some respects. I think their achievements are rather remarkable, but there is no reason for panic because there's never any solution in panic. Progress is going to result only from bold decisions that are made by cool heads.
Each announcement on Moscow radio and by the Soviet information agency TASS has pointed out that America's first manned venture into space was a brief vertical probe, not an orbital flight.
There are some instances where you may be ahead of us. For example, in the development of the thrust of your rockets for the investigation of outer space. There may be some instances, for example, color television, where we're ahead of you. Because after all, you don't know everything.
If I don't know everything, then I would say that you know absolutely nothing about communism. Nothing except fear of it. I share the enthusiasm of Soviet engineers about the cleverness of the American people. We always knew they were clever. Foolish people could never raise the economy to such a level of achievement. But we too, as you know, don't kill flies with our nostrils.
What?
He's a communist, mother.
Oh, that.
Religion and politics often make some people lose all perspective and give way to ranting and raving and carrying on like emotional children. They either refuse to discuss it with reason or else they prefer argumentum ad hominem, which is a hell of a way to conduct a discussion. Well, anyhow, not long ago, I was talking about the elections and how the campaigns were ignoring the issues and sticking instead to invective and personal crap that had nothing to do with the substantive problems of running a government, which is all true, as you know, if you followed the speeches and so-called debates of the candidates. Anyhow, one of the guys guys I was talking with said not a word in the whole conversation except at the end when he suddenly chuckled and said we were all full of shit and why didn't we go live in Russia or China if that was the way we all hated the United States of America. Next thing you know, the whole blooming discussion was more like a brawl and the epithets flew thick and fast and the noise was incredible. Someone said son of a bitch and I think he said bastard. I couldn't be sure. It was also confusing. Well, anyhow, I was attempting to get it all back on a rational level. I tried, for example, to talk to the one who had started it all and I asked him just what did he mean we were all full of shit. Was he making a statement of fact as he knew it, and where was his documentation to back up his claim? I think Socrates would have been proud of the way I refuted his argument. That is, I tried to refute it, but all he could offer by way of rebuttal was more of the same about how we were all full of shit, but he wouldn't say why. He just kept on repeating it. That and the part about Russia and China and communist dupes, and I'll have to confess that I got a bit angry and told him to stuff his ideas up his, which you don't have to tell me is hardly a way to convince anyone in an argument. Then he got salty and threatened to give me a punch in the mouth if I didn't shut up, and I really got hot, and the others did too, and we all beat the shit out of Mr. Conservative, and after all, he had only himself to be blamed. This is still a free country, and anyone telling a fellow like me, brother, you're full of shit, better be good and ready to answer politely when asked if he'd care to say why.
I believe that the polls and other studies and votes in the United Nations and anyone reading the paper and any citizen of the United States must come to the conclusion that the United States no longer carries the same image of a vital society on the move with its brightest days ahead as it carried a decade or two decades ago. The Soviet Union made a breakthrough in outer space. Mr. George Allen, head of your information service, has said that that made the people of the world begin to wonder whether we were first in science. We're first in other areas of science, but in space, which is the new science, we're not first.
Now, when we have a presidential candidate, for example, Senator Kennedy, stating over and over again that the United States is second in space, and the fact of the matter is that the space score today is 28-8. We've had 28 successful shots, they've had 8. When he states that we're second in education, when he makes statements like this, what does this do to American prestige? Well, it can only have the effect, certainly, of reducing.
I believe the Soviet Union is first in outer space. You yourself said to Khrushchev, you may be ahead of us in rocket thrust, but we're ahead of you in color television. In your famous discussion in the kitchen, I think that color television is not as important as rocket thrust.
Now that you've become acquainted with the enlightened communist system, in contrast to the outdated capitalistic way of life, you are now prepared for the next step of your indoctrination, which will be most difficult. When the moral fiber of the United States weakens and the economy collapses under the pressure of competitive coexistence, you will assume control. You will move into every phase of American political and economic life. It will be your responsibility, comrades, to purge the minds of the reactionary Americans so that they will welcome the enlightened Soviet system and conform without resistance to the dictatorship of the proletariat. Again, my congratulations, comrades. Continue the good work.
Mr. Castro, if you will sit here next to your friend, Mr. Khrushchev. Mr. Anasha, if you will sit here next to Mr. Ben-Gurion. I'm sorry, Mr. Nkrumah, if you will sit in between Mr. Ben-Gurion and Mr. Anasha, then you can turn either way. Now, Mr. Chiang Kai-shek, would you please sit there beside Mr. Khrushchev? Oh, good. Now, before we get down to the business at hand, I think lunch would be in order. Now, I thought that instead of the formal food we usually serve here, that we would have a typical American businessman's lunch. So I'm going to send down to the delicatessen store for some sandwiches. Well, how does that strike you, gentlemen? Mr. Khrushchev, would you... I appreciate your enthusiasm, but would you mind just taking your shoe off the table? Mr. Khrushchev.
Oh, you don't have to order special for me. I'll have a bite of everybody else's.
All right, Mr. Adenauer.
You have one sandwich here in America I love. I have a Western sandwich.
If Adenauer has a Western sandwich, then I'll have an Eastern sandwich.
There is no Eastern sandwich.
Then I want the Eastern portion of his Western sandwich.
I'm sure we can negotiate on that subject. Mr. Castro.
No pregunte que su patria pueda ser para usted, pero pregunte que usted pueda ser para su patria. I have a chicken sandwich with a live chicken.
Oh, Jesus.
By calling it the Cold War, we're doing exactly what the enemy, and I say the enemy, wants us to do. We're sitting back, we're relaxing, and instinctively we're thanking God that it isn't the hot war, it isn't the real thing, it isn't the shooting war, it isn't World War II over again. But my friend, this is it. This is a new war. And upon our ability to recognize it as a new war will be depend whether we shall win it or whether we shall lose it.
Our telephone question tonight is, do you think there'll be a counter-revolution in Cuba? Hello, what's your opinion, sir?
Consensus of newsman opinion is that the people of Cuba join anti-Castro forces. There's anti-Castro. Now don't guess the Castro. They're going to join.
Is that you, Mr. President?
No, I cut that out. You know it is, Jackie.
It's 5 o'clock in the morning. Isn't it a little late to be coming home?
I just came from a very important cabinet meeting. Did you see me on television last night?
No, I missed it.
How come you never watch my shows? I always watch yours.
I was listening to that album about us.
Oh, well, that's what I am disturbed about.
I don't see why. It's all in good fun.
Believe me, it is not that I am against people imitating me. It is just that he's misusing the language. He has me saying Cuba instead of Cuba. Now everybody knows that there is a vast difference between Cuba and Cuba.
I see what you mean, Jack.
Now you know that's not right.
And I'm behind you 100%. You've got the right idea.
Russia? What's a man like you doing going to Russia? Nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. I know, I've lived there.
We must get into people's homes without hidden microphones or secret police. The President of the United States has a record that people buy and take into their homes. I'll try to find out how he does this.
Commie's Sex Trap. Good grief, Joe ejaculated verbally.
A few puffs of opium to prolong your staying power, she murmured in a low, sultry voice. Thanks, I said, but I don't need artificial stimulants, as you will soon learn. Teach me, hated imperialist, she gasped, her eyes pools of sexy jade beneath her long black lashes. Let's see how long you can coexist when I unleash my socialist sex upon you. Our lips locked, our tongues wrestled while the maelstrom swirled, while her long scarlet fingernails raked my back and her legs flailed the bed. She was a twisting tornado of aroused femininity, a tempestuous typhoon of berserk blonde bliss, a hot hurricane of fulminating flesh. Master me, she shrieked. Ravish me, violate me, possess me. Faster, faster. In her excitement, she spoke in Chinese.
The communist taught.
Individuals, parties, entire states believe, despite the movement of individuals towards the West, that the way of life of the totalitarian society is better than or superior to our own, and that not all, or even most human beings, know what is for their own good, and therefore need rulers who know better than they do what is good for them.
Sacred trust. It's what our free society is founded on. Do you think they give a damn about their bills in Russia? I said, do you think they give a damn about their bills in Russia?
They don't pay bills in Russia. It's all free.
All free?
Free, my aunt. What are you, flipping commie?
Huh?
No, I ain't no commie.
Oh, you better not be. I don't want no commies in my car. No Christians either.
Hi, and welcome again to the Gay Communist Gun Club, the organization dedicated to gayness,
communism,
and guns. Let's get right to our first caller.
Hello. What's your opinion, sir?
The communistic rulers in China and Russia, the bear of communism, they would propagate every license in America. They would propagate illicit sex. They would propagate every vile sin. They would try to tear down the home. But the communistic powers found out 40 years ago when they tried to advocate free love in the so-called perfect society that it would not work, that the thing was coming apart at the seams. The fabric of communism was being torn apart. And today, the home in Soviet Russia is being propagated and built up as never before, when the home in America is being destroyed in this hour and torn apart.
He stands condemned by his own words. He has challenged the supreme authority of the state. He has questioned its practices and its decisions. And by these actions, he has proved himself to be a dangerous enemy to the proletariat. He must be treated as such. as an ugly remnant of a diseased bourgeois class. He must be eradicated before the contagion can spread.
Comrade Donovan, you are hereby sentenced to be shot.
Please, cut me some slack here, will you? I'll give you anything you want.
One magazine! Fire!
The leftists in the middle of the road, or so-called, claim that we extremists are dividing and confusing the American people and diverting attention from the real menace of communist gains in Asia, Africa, and Latin America. Who caused the communist gains? Within and without. Was it the so-called right-wingers like Senator McCarthy or Senator Taft, Robert Welch? No. It was the left-wingers who've been in the saddle, the Roosevelts, the Hopkins, Kennedy, the Stevensons, brought us where we are.
Hang down your head left, wingers, hang down your head and cry. Take one last look at the White House before you say goodbye. Take all your socialism and your welfareism too. America doesn't want it, and the new frontier is through. Well now, boy, hang down your head left, wingers, hang down your head. Before you say goodbye.
Alien hands, guided by un-American ideologies, are even now reaching for the controls.
Thousands, self-praised revolutionists who are determined to defy all law and order, strangle America, and then deliver freedom's corpse to their communist grandfathers, who long have boasted, "We will bury you."
They replicate in large numbers, mature, and release their massive battalions by blowing up cells.
The Fair Play for Cuba Committee is retrofitting my mower's engine to power Fidel Castro's one-man escape sub.
The viruses scatter, besieging more cells, and the infection spreads as the viruses increase in strength and number at a staggering rate.
Realize who you're talking to. I am the Commander-in-Chief of the Army, the Navy, the Air Force. Right, call on all loyal Americans. Pick at the White House. Write to your congressman. Don't let them fluoridate your water. Oh, for God's sake, let us sit upon the ground. Tell sad stories of the death of kings. Once more into the breach, dear friends. Once more into the breach.
That's the way to meet the future. That's the way to speak to the enemy, to the communists today. This is no war of armies and navies and air forces, not primarily. It is a war of civilians. It has been going on for years and years. They've been trying to soften the American and to weaken him, to infiltrate. It is a psychological war in which the enemy is using the most deadly of all salesmen, the salesman fear. Russia wants to destroy our character, to destroy our backbone, to make us spineless. To meet it, we need a battle cry. And my friend, may I give you the battle cry of old England?
The 40 million Korean people, led by Marshal Kim Il-sung, the great leader of the revolution, firmly stand behind the American people in mutilating the U.S. ruling circles.
When I get in front of McClellan, I'm gonna bite off his head and spit it in Nixon's face.
The ASU and the People's Korea will combine efforts in chopping the head off U.S. imperialism.
He's trying to spread pessimism. He's trying to make us doubt our destiny. Above all, he's trying to make us doubt our divine mission.
We'll combine efforts in chopping the head off U.S. imperialism and tearing its limbs in concert with the revolutionary people the world over.
The best way I know to save our freedom, to save our country, is to join the John Birch Society. If you know a better way, you tell me what it is. I want to join.
Oh, we're meeting at the courthouse at 8 o'clock tonight. You just come in the door and take the first turn to the right. Be careful when you get there. We'd hate to be bereft, but we're taking down the names of everybody turning left.
Oh, we're the John Birch Society, the John Birch Society, here to save our country from a communistic what? Join the John Birch Society. Help us fill the ranks. To get this movement started, we need lots of tools and cranks.
Now there's no one that we're certain the Kremlin doesn't touch.
We think that Westbrook Pegler doth protest a bit too much. We only hail the hero from whom we got our name.
We're not sure what he did,
but he's our hero just the same.
Oh, we're the John Birch Society, the John Birch Society.
Socialism is the ism dismalest of all.
Join the John Birch Society, there's so much to do. Have you heard they're serving vodka at the WCTU?
Well, you've heard about the agents that we've already named. Well, MCA has agents that are flatly unashamed.
We're after Rosie Clooney.
We've gotten Pinky Lee.
And the day we get Red Skelton, won't that be a victory?
Oh, we're the John Birch Society, the John Birch Society. Norman Vincent Peale may think he's kidding us along, but the John Birch Society knows he spilled the beans.
He keeps on preaching brotherhood, but we know what he means.
No person who is truly dedicated to freedom, liberty, and the concept of democratic government, who opposes tyranny and totalitarianism, and at the same time is truly informed about the nature and record of communism, joins in communist-led or communist-front operations. Understanding the present communist threat is not a political issue. It is a matter of national survival. A crackdown on subversives and terrorists is needed now.
Don't worry, Jerry. That bullet will never reach you. Because it's time to bring you back from your red nightmare.
Get out!
George! George! You're right.
To prevent communism from consuming the entire free world, there stands but one man. That man is you.
Have a very devastating effect upon the communists to hear more American laughter, more confidence, and less fear in our hearts.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like... Oh, seekers, we're back! Oh, yes! Oh, I had a horrible, horrible dream. All of you were in it, yes. You were a communist. And you! Oh, yes, we were all pinkos.
Pinkos?
Hell, all political schools of thought are pink when you get down to it. Oh, boy, does my head hurt. Oh, I hate thinking about the hair-splitting waste of time they call politics. Oh, I am happy that this particular country hasn't yet started rounding up free-thinking malcontents like Reverend Susie the Floozy here, or Reverend...
This person has been purged.
...or the Reverend Ivan Stangovich, Stang. But hey, that clock's ticking. Ugh... There have been too many damn isms flying around here in the funhouse tonight. Ooh, I'll have to have these walls pressure washed with a good degreaser after this. Oh, yes, seekers. One thing the Church of the Subgenius is not going to be bringing you is another ism. You'll never hear us talking about Bobism or Slackism, because you can't define either thing in terms of mere politics. It's the same reason there's no such thing as life-ism or breathing-ism. It's not like you have a choice, is it? Oh, but this is not to say that Bob can't be the chief commissar of your slack. And like a privileged upper party member, as a subgenius, you will live the afterlife of a czar on the pleasure saucers come X day. Oh, but let's get some credits out. Here's what I had to dredge through for tonight's show. We heard Jack Webb's Red Nightmare, and then excerpts from another commie scare flick of the 50s, Red Menace, and then from the Pebbles No. 8 compilation, Mike Condello with Soggy Cereal, Commie Cereal. And then we heard that Churchill guy, and Walter Winchell, and the House Un-American Activities Committee hearing stuff, Ronald Reagan, and that was Walt Disney going on against unions, huh, figures. Humphrey Bogart popped up there, too. And then we heard from the Mystery Science Theater, Charlie McCarthy hearings bit, And then little sprinklings from Manchurian Candidate, one of the all-time best commie scare flicks. And then, speaking of weasels, that red baitin' weasel Richard M. Nixon with his checkers speech. Oh, and then Ethel Rosenberg's Last Ride. And we even had a little...
This part of the show has been purged by the People's Tribunal of WREK Atlanta.
Then likely stories with commies from Mars. And then we heard Severn Darden from the President's Analyst. Nina Hagen with Born in Zizax. Russian Roulette from Cartoons in Stereo. And then Laika and the Cosmonauts with Come On, Do the Laika! The Nixon-Khrushchev debate. The JFK-Nixon debate. Cheap Stories with Commie's Sex Trap. Wow. Oh, and then the John Birch Society song by the Chad Mitchell Trio from the Bitter End album. And, oh, some of the stuff I had to wade through, Seekers. Freedom Is Not Free, an album by the VFW chaplain Curtis Morris. Ooh, scary. Almost as scary as Ring of Fire by Jimmy Swaggart, where he's talking about propagating communism. Oh, and then The President Strikes Back by Mark London and cast. And then another hysteric album, America, You're the Greatest by Dr. Ian Stewart. And then a truly scary and ridiculous one, The Commu-Nazis Exposed in Their Own Words. Yeah, you can hear the words of stockbrokers and senators like Jerry Rubin and Tom Hayden. Ooh, and a truly, truly fearsome album, Bipartisan Treason by Tom Anderson, the president and editor-in-chief of Farm and Ranch magazine, and a member of the John Birch Society. This album was done while JFK was alive, and this guy was up there on the stand calling for somebody to take one of their guns and do in those damn Kennedy brothers. It's pretty scary. And then Dialogues on Democracy with the Meaning of Freedom by Professor Sidney Hook. Ohio Senator Tennyson Guyver from Countdown for Progress. Ooh, the Goldwaters sing songs to bug the liberals with Hang Down Your...
This horrible singing has been purged.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, we're up to our knees in dead communists here, but... Oh, I need to sign off, Seekers. What a night it's been. Oh, I'm glad things are back on the right track, but you know, I still kind of miss the classic commies. We do have an aching need for them, Seekers, because when you think of it, all there is left to hate now is ourselves. So, Bob spit on ya, comrade Seekers. Good night.
Communist Todd.
Yeah, blow it out your hairdo, Granny. I am out of here. See you in church.
You! Halt!